Hello there, and welcome to the Crypto Frontier. I'm Jonathan Miller, Managing Director of Kraken Australia, and here on the Crypto Frontier, we will hear from the industry's best and brightest about the latest news in crypto and blockchain from Australia and around the world. Whether you haven't yet bought your first Bitcoin or want to better understand the latest DeFi token or development in blockchain, this show will go behind the scenes with founders, experts, and industry professionals to explore the technology that powers the future of finance. Please note that this podcast does not constitute financial product advice. You should consider obtaining independent advice from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi there, folks. In this episode, I speak with James Manning from Mawson Infrastructure Group about the company's plans to roll out modular Bitcoin mining rigs to co-locate on renewable energy generation sites. James tells me about how he came to crypto and about how Bitcoin can potentially be a useful component in the transition to 100% renewables. It's beholden upon me also to disclose that I have a small indirect interest in Mawson Infrastructure Group, who are listed on the NASDAQ exchange. James, thanks so much for joining me today on the show. I'd love you to tell me about how you arrived, you know, where you are today, if you could go backwards in time and tell me about how you got here.
Yeah, I guess we accidentally landed in crypto. I ran a family office for the best part of 15 odd years, and we actually made a loan to a business that went sideways, and we had to foreclose on that loan, and it led me to looking at a distressed energy asset in the US, and it was actually a flare gas asset. And when I turned up to the US and had a look at this site, I was like, why are they just burning gas? And that's the way they did it back then, and they still do it to today. And I thought there'd be a better use, so it took me on a little journey, and I ultimately found a site where they had a generator attached to one of these flare gas opportunities, and they were mining Bitcoin with a S9 miner, which was the generation of mining equipment back then, which is, you know, long been superseded, but was the right generation of equipment, you know, four years ago, that was being used. So we had a look at it, and it made a lot of sense to us. We understood what Bitcoin mining was all about pretty quickly, and that's what we wanted to do.
Cool. So the economics worked for you. That was the bottom line.
Yeah, it seemed to make a lot of economic sense for us. We had a bit of a background and understanding about technology. We understood infrastructure. So, you know, combination of infrastructure and technology understandings really made a lot of sense to us. And, you know, we overlaid that with really an energy thematic. And we said there's going to be a huge opportunity in the energy space. And we've really been thinking about it, you know, about as an energy play, the whole crypto space as part of an energy play, and how we can use a decentralized finance and decentralized compute to ultimately help transition to a decarbonized society.
Okay, so for the benefit of the listener who hasn't heard about Mawson Infrastructure, could you give them the kind of elevator pitch on what you're doing then? I get how you arrived then. You were exposed to it directly and kind of needed to get your hands dirty. But now this is a business that's got a direct interest in mining and a really kind of interesting modular kind of methodology. And I'm sure a whole lot of other things. But can you give us the helicopter view on what you guys are doing now and what Mawson is?
Yeah, so today we're a NASDAQ-listed business. So we're listed on NASDAQ. You could buy our shares through CommSec or through your local broker here in Australia with the code MIGI. And I guess that's really the culmination of a few years' work. And what we are today is a leading digital infrastructure business. So we think of ourselves no different to other infrastructure business like poles and wires or a traditional data center. But I guess our focus is principally around digital currency. And we're looking at the whole ecosystem, and we're trying to do that in an ESG-friendly way. And we are focused primarily on Bitcoin mining. If you said to me, what are the two core aspects of our business today, I'd say one's the infrastructure side, which is the mining. So that's owning the computers in the modular data centers. And the other's our asset management. The asset management business, we recently launched in Australia an ETF, which tracks globally miners that are listed around the world, and that's listed on Chi-X with the code DIGA, and it's a great way of looking at, you know, how you get exposure to this space. you can go now and buy a single stock, and it gives you a basket of stocks like a normal ETF would, that really gives investors and people a way to access this emerging ecosystem.
Okay, cool. So let's narrow in then on the mining side. So where are you guys predominantly setting up sites, and what makes you different from the other miners out there?
Yeah, so we've got four sites currently. One's in Nebraska, one's in Georgia. We're just establishing a new site in Pennsylvania, and we just got a site up operational just north of Byron Bay. So I think the thing that really separates us from a lot of the others in the market is, you know, we're definitely ESG focused, and so we're a net zero miner, and we're very focused on, you know, ensuring our green credentials are valid and are true green credentials. So, you know, our new site that we've just signed up in Pennsylvania, 100 megawatts worth of energy capacity, net zero, nuclear founded, you know, 4-cent power, so with a lot of expansion opportunities. So we're very, very focused on this renewable aspect of mining, and ensuring that, you know, we're really adding value to the network by building infrastructure that is based on renewable energy ultimately.
And tell me, from the point of view of the parties that you're working with, the producers of energy, are you just another offtake for them, or is there something different about the way that your relationship works?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. So I think you see the industry matures and progresses. I think what you've seen in the last, you know, 2 years is a real industrialization of mining. So the mums and dads mining at home have really been, you know, I wouldn't say they've been pushed out, but I think you can definitely see that mining's become larger scale, and there's bigger businesses doing it. And so with that comes different partnerships. So Byron Bay is a really good example. We partnered with Quinbrook Infrastructure. They're one of the world's leading renewable energy infrastructure funds in the world. They've got something like 8 gigawatts worth of energy infrastructure globally. So, you know, that partnership's not just about power, it's about profit share. And it's about both of us seeing a way that, you know, data centers can really help decarbonize society moving forward.
Okay, so with the Australian one, a lot of people say, oh, you can't do it in Australia. It's not profitable. How have you guys structured this one in Aussie? And how have you mitigated some of the challenges, you know, when it comes to overnight renewables in Australia?
Yeah, so the site there, you know, you get a combination of, you know, grid tied and non-grid tied. And I think that's the challenge with a lot of renewable sites. So if you look like a wind powered site, you know, you're not going to have the perfect wind all the time. So you have to be willing to buy from the grid in the periods where it's not available. And the same occurs with, you know, solar. For us, we've done a deal where we're partnered in at the generational level, so at the power station level. And, you know, that works for us. And if we need to buy from the grid for, you know, short periods of time, we have that flexibility in the way we're structured. But, you know, it's a great transaction where we're, you know, really supported by an energy infrastructure partner that understands what the space is about, I think, over the long term.
And from their point of view, yeah, how do you guys help them? You know, you mentioned that it you know, helps them or helps the adoption of renewables. And tell me about how that works. What is it that you're bringing that say another buyer of their energy source is not bringing?
So I think the great thing about Bitcoin mining and digital, you know, distributed data centers is the ability not to be on 24/7. So we have the ability to curtail. So I think the scenario I like people to think about is, you know, what a summer's day in January looks like when the mercury hits 40 degrees Celsius. You don't want our data center consuming energy. You want to be able to put that energy back to the grid, and we can offer that flexibility. So, you know, if we're consuming 20 megs, 50 megs, 100 megs of power, and we say, hey, we'll turn off between, you know, 4 and 6 for 2 hours, that's adding that energy back to the network. But also it gives the generator that surety that they can, I guess, supply energy to the network and the grid at the right time, and keep the grid stable and provide energy security to the broader market and network. So, you know, it works for both sides, and, you know, that flexibility is invaluable. And I think that's how you see, you know, Bitcoin mining businesses and just, you know, edge data centers and HPC computing at the edge really add value to the economy long term.
So you guys are set up, your miners are they on site? Is that how that works?
Yeah, they're on site. So we've got a modular data center. It's like a shipping container. It's a bit more than a shipping container, but I think for listeners at home to think about it like a shipping container. We have a shipping container, we drop it on site and we connect it up. So, to oversimplify it, we turn up with an extension lead and we plug it into the wall of the power station and we're on and we're live. I've really oversimplified a lot of technical work and expertise there, but it's plug and play. There's a lot
just
of work
like your headphones,
to plug exactly like your headphones. So, a lot of work to get us there, but conceptually that's the idea. And I think that's one of our great advantages is this modular approach that we can sort of turn up and plug and play. We recently built a 20 meg facility with 8 containers down in 6 weeks. So that gives you a feel for our ability to rapidly deploy this equipment. Assuming the energy infrastructure is there, we literally can turn up with our equipment and plug and play. And I think that's a real strategic advantage for our business over the long term because we have that ability to be really flexible in how we build and deploy load.
Well, it's quite interesting, not quite, but I don't think people quite understand that sometimes actually the ability to turn off is as important as the ability to turn on. But you're potentially giving these generators, assurances around when they've got supply or when they've got output that needs consumption. And I'm assuming that you then have deals that kind of are structured around that. That's really fascinating. Let's just talk quickly about the challenges you face, because I think that, a lot of people, look at mining and they it's either too technical or the power problem's too hard. What are the biggest challenges you guys have faced in the past couple of years and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I think there's a few challenges there. I think if you said to me what challenges me today, and I think, the big ones are global logistics. I think there's regulatory challenges, and I think, the power infrastructure and the mining equipment infrastructure are all challenges, that we have to face day in, day out. COVID's really thrown a spanner in the work as far as logistics. So moving stuff, transporting stuff, getting stuff out of Asia into the US and into Australia, that's all become more complex. I think no one can underestimate the uncertainty provided by a lack of regulatory clarity. And I think we've really seen recently the Bragg report here in Australia starting to give some clarity. And I see today that CBA's been, the cat's been let out of the bag there, and it looks like CBA is going to allow crypto within their app environment. We don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm sure they want some certainty and some clarity around that. So I'd say regulatory challenges are a real challenge in the space because, with them goes things like debanking, and we've heard a lot about that in the media over the last couple of months as it's been through Senate committees. And, it's a real thing that a lot of people in crypto have experienced. They've found a letter from their bank or some correspondence saying, hey, you're in crypto, we'd like to not bank you anymore. And that's not a great experience for anyone, especially if you've banked with one of the big banks for years and years, and then you find out because of your passion project in crypto, you're no longer a customer. It's really, really undesirable. And so I think, that's a challenge we've had as well. We're fortunate we haven't been debanked, but, it's definitely restricted, people's perception of the business, access to capital over time. It's got easier as time's got on. But I look back 3 years ago having conversations in this space and people thought I was crazy. I said, I want to build an institutional and industrial grade miner. And they're like, this thing's a fad. It's a bubble. It's going to zero and it's illegal. And you're like, well, it's actually not illegal, guys. But, there's definitely, that dynamic and that conversation's definitely matured. And I think you can definitely see in investors and the institutional investment market, they've all realized it's not a fad, it's not a bubble, and it's no longer illegal in many people's eyes. So, I think the great challenge and the greatest opportunity for crypto, whether you're at home trying to, buy some Bitcoin on Kraken, or whether you're thinking about should I buy a mining device and put it in my home, is that, the regulatory certainty that's coming down the pipeline, I think, gives you some real surety as an investor coming into the space or an enthusiast coming into the space that, you're not going to have something that's worth zero tomorrow because the government's decided to tax it or ban it as they did in China.
Yeah, that's right. I was just about to mention, I guess one really interesting thing about your
setup though is that, you know, if you can bring it in quickly, you can, my assumption is you can also lift it out quickly. And that would be, you know, I don't think the regulatory problem has been solved, and I fully agree with you that it's looking a little bit more certain here. But speaking of that, you know, it's different in every country, and you know, you guys are a global operation. So where it sounds like you're focused in North America, is that going to be the focus in the short to medium term for you from the regulatory point of view? Is that the best place to be?
Look, I think Australia presents a huge opportunity if we can find the right locations and do the right transactions. I also think the US is, you know, a very stable operating environment. You're seeing some states in the US that are definitely more crypto friendly than other states, and you know, obviously we're going to focus our energy and attention to those states that are open for business, for want of a word. I don't think you'll see just one site from us here in Australia, and we're actively working on another site. And you know, I can't go into a lot of detail, but you know, we are actively working to build a second facility here in Australia, and I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for us. And it's really about bringing some of the network and the hash and this infrastructure into Australia, and really ensuring there's diversity in the distribution of network hash and some security around it, not being, you know, centrally located in one jurisdiction. And I think that's an important process as well. So I think we've got to think about that from a broader network dynamic, about how and where hash sits.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I think the unfortunate thing for the Chinese people is that ban has, you know, limited their participation. But from the point of view of the kind of macro perspective on distribution of hashing power, I think it's actually been, you know, net positive for the Bitcoin network at very least. I mean, one thing that does interest me is kind of completely off-grid setups. And I'm guessing that one of the challenges in the Australian market is the way that the grid's set up here, and that being on site helps that. But have you guys looked at completely off-grid setups for people who want to or have land, say, you know, detached from major grids? Is that something that, you know, your product is suited for?
Yeah, definitely in the US we're looking at that. I think the problem for us is a lot of the sites in the US that are off-grid, for want of a word, stranded gas projects or fossil fuel projects, and that doesn't suit our, you know, ESG dynamic, and it doesn't meet our thresholds. So, you know, I can't with good conscience go and buy and build infrastructure where I know it's a fossil fuel based product. But you know, if you look at like an off grid solar, or if you look at an off grid wind, you know, there's definitely opportunities, but with them come challenges, you know, because ultimately, as a miner with, you know, Bitcoin price where it is today, you want to be operational as much as you can. So if you're looking at a wind project where you might have a 40% efficiency, you don't really want to be, or a 50% efficiency, you don't want to be offline. So then you've got to look at the battery infrastructure attached to it. So, you know, that pure off-grid stuff is very, very difficult in all renewable energy, but it's definitely doable in fossil fuel energy, in things like gas and so forth. But I guess as a firm, we've taken a view that we don't want to support, you know, fossil fuel industry ultimately, and so you know, we're not looking to co-locate in those sort of facilities at the moment.
Interesting. Makes sense. Look, I think it's a welcome attitude when it comes to, you know, building infrastructure for crypto, in particular Bitcoin, where there has been a lot of, you know, I guess contentious argument around its consumptive impost on kind of global consumption. One thing I did want to kind of get to here though is the, I guess you could potentially talk about it as being a threat to a certain extent, but you know, the mining space, proof of work mining has, you know, been the mining methodology, you know, up until very recently, but we're starting to see alternative methodologies emerge on a bunch of different chains. As far as I'm aware, you guys are focused on Bitcoin. That sounds totally reasonable. What other, or have you looked at other networks and blockchains to mine? And are you even considering, you know, whether or not proof of stake network is mining is something that is important to you? And if so, is that even possible given your structure?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. You know, we're definitely always looking at new projects. And you know, I think last year we spun out what we call Mawson Labs, which is the, you know, internal code word for things that we're developing on various crypto projects. We spun out a business called Distributed Storage Solutions, and that's focused on Filecoin. And for those not familiar with Filecoin, that's the idea conceptually around it's built on the IPFS network, and it's about distributed storage. So hence the name Distributed Storage Solutions. But what we saw as a real opportunity in that, and that's a bit of a hybrid between a bit of proof of work from the mining side and a proof of stake. You have to lodge collateral, which is FIL or Filecoin. And we see a lot of use cases for Filecoin, and you're definitely seeing things with NFTs starting to move that data to be stored on the Filecoin network. So there's genuine use cases for this for this medium. So now one of our criteria is, you know, if we're looking at a project, what's the use case and who's going to use this? So, you know, Filecoin's a bit of a hybrid. It's got a mining component, but it's definitely got a proof of stake component. And it's a real collateral component. So we quite like that, but it's right in our wheelhouse where we also have to run and build that infrastructure. So, you know, we have to have large space in data centers with dedicated storage around, you know, providing that infrastructure. So I think you're going to see a combination of proof of stake and proof of work style applications being built. I think one of the great things about a proof of work application is, you know, it definitely provides security to the network in the form of the infrastructure, and that infrastructure is valuable. And if you remove the onus on infrastructure in some of these stuff, I think you make the network a little bit more susceptible to certain bad actors in the space. But I think that can also be offset with, you know, the right requirements and technical requirements around hardware and so forth, and when they're co-located in a proof of stake environment. But, you know, we very much want to see it democratized and spread out. And I guess from a structural perspective, we like crypto projects where, you know, everyone can participate and not just some parties can participate, which you do see in some of these proof of stake ones where, you know, the infrastructure, no one can participate bar the founders group or select groups. And we'd like to see that a little bit more open in some of these proof of stake coins.
That's a really fascinating perspective, and you've inspired me to kind of think about whether I should do it, and I probably should do it, an episode on, you know, proof of stake and proof of work and the kind of arguments for and against, because conceptually, and I'd never really thought about it until you mentioned it, proof of work is kind of like an off-chain security solution for the network, for what becomes a blockchain network. So it's quite interesting, quite elegant.
Yeah, I absolutely, and I think that was the beauty in the original white paper, that as the network got bigger and bigger and bigger, it became stronger and stronger. And so as time went on, value should continue to rise, is the idea with the scarcity factor of Bitcoin. And ultimately, you know, it becomes harder and harder to mine the Bitcoin. And in doing so, you know, computers have to become more advanced, or there has to be more computers doing it. And that all comes with a cost, and that infrastructure cost is what I think underpins the ultimate value proposition of Bitcoin, and forms a backstop to the infrastructure like traditional mining businesses have. So no different to a gold business or an iron ore business, where, you know, there's a cost to produce, you know, an ounce of gold today, and that's reflective of the time, value and effort associated with going and doing that work. And there's big infrastructure and big companies built around that. And I think that's what you want behind your blockchain network. You want lots of independent big businesses securing the network, not centralized in the hands of a few, and I think that's a really important way to look about it long term.
That's a perfect way to end the show, James. Thanks so much for joining me and telling me about what you guys are up to and for your unique perspective. So I wish you all the best.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks everyone for joining me on this show and for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe and review on your podcast platform of choice. And we'll make sure we take you right to the edge of the crypto frontier. And remember, you can learn more about all things crypto by visiting kraken.com/learn. Until next time, I've been Jonathan Miller, and this has been the Crypto Frontier.